Welcome to the hour, to hour two of the Power Hour Radio Show. With such a great history, the Power Hour Radio Show is especially neat to be able to bring you things like Cash Friday. I love that Catherine is offering, is helping to offer and support Cash Friday by giving a 10% discount to customers who select cash or check or money order at checkout. I think that is a terrific way to do it. And so if you can go out and spend a little cash today and not use digital, which is what they want us to do, so they have records on all of us. We don't want them to have records on all of us. They work for us. We don't work for them. Anyway, also, if you'd like to access the archives, all you got to do is go to thepowerhour.com, and that interview with Catherine Austin Fitz and lots of the archives of radio programs. We put out a lot of substance, a lot of content. You can do it there. We encourage you to do that and give us feedback about how we're doing as well as everything else. Very excited to talk to our next guest. His name is Steve Bias, and he is a professor of history at Randall University in Moore, Oklahoma. He's also editor of the Oklahoma Constitution newspaper and a regular contributor to the New America magazine, American magazine. He's written a high school government textbook, two mystery novels. One's called Digging Up Bones and Sooner Dead. And his work has also appeared in the Tennessee Historical Quarterly, The Chronicles of Oklahoma. He lives in Norman, Oklahoma with his wife, Donna. And thank you so much for joining us, Steve Bias, to the Power Hour Radio Show.
Well, thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, it's great to talk to you. And I'll tell you, it's interesting. You have out right now in The New American. I got to find it here. The New American, your latest piece of The New American has the headline, Dershowitz predicts court will nix Biden vaccine mandates. Now, what I find interesting about that, the one and only time I've had an opportunity to interview Alan Dershowitz, we got so crosswise with each other, it was quite a thing to behold, because at that point, not long after those despicable mask mandates, he was saying this, quote, if the government wants to plunge a needle into your arm, they have that right. You know what? I think he took a lot of heat, not just from me, and now he's saying the court is going to nix those vaccine mandates. I'm not so sure. What do you think? And what do you think about Dershowitz, too? Let's talk about that as well.
Okay. Well, I think that he is probably correct on the courts. We'll say that the federal government does, especially the President Biden, he can't make law. He has no more authority to tell me what to do than any other American citizen. His orders are to the executive branch to carry out existing law. Executive orders were not intended to make new law. And so I think at the end of the day, the Supreme Court will say that he has no authority to do that. Now, as far as whether they would uphold an act of Congress, I'm not sure. I think that's unconstitutional as well, because there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government that enumerated power. So that would be something that would just, they just wouldn't have the power to do. As far as Dershowitz goes, you know, he's a liberal and he's a Democrat, but he has taken some positions that are a little more in line with the founding principles of the country than your typical progressive. You know, I think there's probably on that sort of thing. So he does have some things he comes down on as a principal position. I don't remember the quote that you're talking about. But
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I remember the quote that you're talking about, but evidently he's either had a change of heart or something on that.
Well, he's saying he's kind of getting out of it. He has quite the ego. And, you know, and to some extent he's earned it. But guess what? Nobody has a monopoly on the truth, even Alan Dershowitz. And here's where I want to go with this discussion, if you don't mind, and that is, gives me no pleasure whatsoever to have to point this out. But evidently, Alan Dershowitz and some others are ignoring the extent to which the judiciary has been compromised. We've seen it again and again. It's like when I hear people, I'm not saying they shouldn't be hopeful. Hope is absolutely essential, but we got to back it up with something. When people say, Biden's approval ratings are down in the dumpster, and I'm thinking, yeah, and they've proven this left that put him in office. They don't care what the public thinks because we've seen the extent to which the elections have been compromised. Well, the same thing with the judiciary, with George Soros and others putting in people who will do the bidding of this radical left instead of the Constitution. How can we be sure that we know it's unconstitutional, but there are things being done right, left, and upside down that are unconstitutional? What do we do about that?
You know, there are some things that can be done. One thing is that states can just frustrate the federal government and a lot of things. You know, sometimes it's called nullification. Sometimes it's called interposition. A lot of things that the federal government wants to do, they really need the cooperation of local authorities because, you know, you don't have a whole lot of federal agents that can go out and enforce these mandates that they come up with. So, for example, you know, if you don't have sheriffs and police and all that sort of thing enforcing like a particular, say, a gun law or something, it's very difficult for the federal government to do it on their own. And so there are situations where the states can just refuse to cooperate and that sort of thing. And that's one thing that they can do.
I love that because it's clear that the same cabal of people, we don't know who it is, who's really, I call them the whomevers, because most people don't think that the presidential potted plant is making decisions with an emphasis on plant, a plant for something, we don't know what. But it's evident that any state that disagrees or asserts its own enumerated power, like in the last hour we're talking about abortion and how Texas is now the Department of Justice is suing Texas as if they don't have a right to make their own abortion laws. Well, now they're treating states as if they're people. You know, Florida is being disobedient. Texas is being disobedient. Oklahoma is being disobedient. I think we're on the right track. I think you're on the right track to say that states are the ones that could well save this country. What do you think?
Well, you know, there are examples that we could point to, some back in the 19th century and some in more recent times where states have frustrated the federal government. For example, a few years ago, there was a person who was convicted of a crime and had was going to in Texas, and because he was a Mexican citizen, the United Nations, they told they said that he didn't get proper counsel from his government or whatever. And president, you know, it's not just a Democrat problem, you know, because this was when George W. Bush was president, and so he decided to just carry out the UN position, and he told he issued an executive order to the state of Texas that they couldn't execute this guy. And so at the time, the attorney general in Texas was Ted Cruz. You may remember that. And
yes.
So they won in the Supreme Court and everything. And so, you know, there's different. We can try the court.
Who won in the Supreme Court? Who won in the Supreme Court?
Texas did.
Texas,
yeah, the state of Texas, and yeah,
and okay,
and Ted Cruz was the attorney general. So, you know, those things can. I don't think there's really one path. I think there's multiple things that we can try, and sometimes it's the court. Sometimes it's just, you know, what I said, refusing to go along. You know, just not doing anything and throwing up roadblocks and so forth.
The left has proven, and I say that in kind of a generic sense. I mean, there's lots of different levels of the left. Not everybody is strategizing, is putting out strategy. But the left has proven that they're willing to fight on every front to take over this country for central planning, global socialism, one world government that basically takes away our rights and our sovereignty. So we have to be willing to fight on every single front. So to that end, I know I'm doing things backwards, but I'm left-handed, so I do that sometimes. You have this great article, you know, apart from whether the judges are going to do their job and, you know, and have respect for the Constitution that they took an oath to protect and defend or not, you wrote a great piece in The New American called Biden's Draconian COVID Executive Orders Are Unconstitutional. Why don't we let you give us some more ammo for everyday people who have a sphere of influence as to why? We know we know it in our gut, but you, the professor, you tell us, why are these executive orders unconstitutional?
Well, when they, James Madison and others, you know, they developed the Constitution, they had all of history. This was kind of unique to the United States. They could just start with a blank page, so to speak, you know, and they could draw upon the wisdom of the human race, so to speak. So they knew the history of liberty was rare. And so they wanted a government strong enough to do the things that, you know, like defend the country against outside forces and that sort of thing. But so one of the things that Madison wanted to do is, and he talked about this more than once, he said that what we want is a government that is strong enough to do these things, and yet the trick is to control evil in society, you know, like the Bible says, you know, that's the purpose of government, but also to control, for it to be controlled. And so he wrote several things into the Constitution. One is there are certain, he said that if it's not in the Constitution that the federal government can do it, they can't do it, you know. And then on the federal level, the power of the federal government was separated out into three branches. And he did that, you know, that was a deliberate thing. You don't want the power to make law, to enforce law, and interpret and apply the law all in one person's hands or a small group. And so Congress, it's very clear. If you read Article 1 of the Constitution, it says all legislative power herein granted shall be held by Congress. And there's no legislative power given to the President of the United States. So then they give the executive power to the President, because then Congress cannot exercise those executive powers, and they can't exercise judicial power, you know. And then he put it in addition to that is checks and balances. And so, like, The president can veto acts of Congress. The president can issue pardons if somebody's getting, you know, a raw deal in the courts and so forth. So it was never envisioned that the president of the United States had the power to make law. His job is to enforce existing law. It is not to create new law. That's the power that was given to Congress. And it's sort of like, you know, in recent years, with even a lot of people think the president can declare war, you know, and that that the Constitution gave him the power to declare. It's the same type of thing. Congress declares war, the president executes it, and that's just the way it's supposed to work. And unfortunately, that some people think we elect a dictator for 4 years, a king or something
like
that. Yeah,
like when they say run the country. Well, it's not for the president even to run the country. He doesn't run the country. He works for us. But here's a question. Yeah. Why don't we look at it from a constitutional perspective and what Alan Dershowitz actually said, which was if the government wants to, it can plunge a needle into our arm. I would beg to differ. What do you think about that statement that Dershowitz made? And even if it were Congress, does Congress have a right to mandate that of every man, woman, and child in this country?
I would say no. That and it all goes to, you know, when they were had finished the Constitution, George Mason said, I'm not signing it. I'd rather cut my hand off before I sign this without a Bill of Rights.
Right.
And so Madison and Hamilton, they took the position that a Bill of Rights was unnecessary because if there's nothing in the Constitution, for example, that would give Congress the power to restrict freedom of speech, okay? So therefore, they can't do it. Okay.
And yet they're doing it anyway, but that's beside the point.
Yeah,
they're doing it every
day.
Are. And they're using corporations as their proxy to do it. But
they absolutely are.
I interrupted.
So, you know, I think Madison was technically correct, but practically Patrick Henry and George Mason were correct that we needed a Bill of Rights. I'm kind of going the long way around to answer your question is that I would say that Madison and Patrick Henry and George Mason and Hamilton would all agree that the Constitution sets out what the powers are of the federal government. If those powers are not in there, they don't have that power. It's just that simple. And there's nothing in Article 1, Section 8 that lists the enumerated powers of Congress that they could plunge a needle into the arm
See,
of
we're
everybody
laughing,
in the country.
But they
it's
are
not there.
Psychologically, they are taking that power upon themselves and claiming they do, number one. And number two, even if it isn't enumerated in their powers, couldn't you argue that this is a violation of not only our rights to be safe in our person, our property, our papers, but also, I don't know, I'm learning more about the Nuremberg decision that you can't do medical experiments on people, that somehow that's a crime against humanity, and that's what we are watching before our very eyes.
Yeah. Well, it's clearly beyond anything that the founders envisioned. I mean, I can't imagine asking James Madison, what do you think about?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just give you, you know, the whole, beyond that, it bothers me greatly that the federal government has such a role in medicine choices as it is, that it should be doctors and patients should be making decisions, not the FDA, not the CDC, you know, about what medicines can be prescribed for, say, this COVID, you know, and that sort of thing. That is so far beyond what was intended.
Yes.
That it's just ludicrous to think that that is a power that is held by the federal government. They may be able to do it by brute force, but it's not right.
They are doing it by brute force because they're mm-hmm. threatening people with their jobs if they don't do it. I would argue that it's paradoxical because part of the reason they're even using this to do it, aside from what is in those vaccines, which we still don't know, is in order to set that precedent that now they can, to change the relationship between citizen and government is part of the reason for that mass insane notion that they can make everybody walk around in public with a rag on their face or be kicked out of a restaurant or a place of business if they didn't. This is a whole new ballgame here because they're getting away with this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the decisions on things like vaccines and whether to take hydroxychloroquine or those right. are not decisions that some bureaucrat in D.C. should be making. You know, that should be doctors in their practice and their patients. You know, it's just obvious that that's not.
Aren't they practicing medicine without a license, for heaven's sake?
They absolutely are. You know,
I know. So they should be prosecuted.
They're scared they're going to lose their license or something. You know.
Yeah. You know what? In our last couple of minutes, we don't have much time, but can you talk to us a little bit about your students? Are you encouraged or discouraged by the as the dear Rush Limbaugh used to say, this young skulls full of mush? What, of course, it's a self-selected group because you're in Oklahoma. But what do you think about the today's generation that you're educating?
Well, there's two groups here. One is the groups at Randall University. It is a Christian liberal arts college, and they're different than what you would find as a group at state institutions and that sort of thing. So.
Right.
They're pretty good.
Listen, I got to run. I always do this. I'm going to get it right. I apologize. We do have to go. We will refer everyone to your website and to your articles. We're going to take a break. We'll be back on the Power Hour Radio Show right after this.
Many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at the Power Mall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour radio show. And just want to let you know that we're going to have open lines for the rest of the hour. If you're listening live, which means 11 to 1 Central, Monday through Friday, actually. It's not always I'm here, but Monday through Friday, 11 to 1, the Power Hour radio show. And if you aren't listening live right now, think about doing that so you can call in and offer your thoughts, your opinions about these astonishing times that we are living in. The number is 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. I'm looking at my news feed, and this is a brand new thing that just came out regarding the Maricopa County. I mentioned it with one of our guests. Audit to show Maricopa County had more than enough voter fraud for legislature to decertify the election. Now what we got to ask is, why didn't they do it? Huh? I don't know. Do you think the presidential potted plant that's sitting in the White House right now was duly elected? I'd like to know. In the news feed, it says President Trump drops second statement on Arizona. Quote, fake news is lying. There were enough fraudulent votes to change the outcome of the election 4 or 5 times over. Now, this is somebody who's done the heavy lifting on the election integrity issue, Joe Hoft. Just so you can go and read it for yourself, the Gateway Pundit. We all have to be our own editors, our own news people right now, because we are getting fed so much propaganda that, the days of listening to people and not questioning are gone. Nobody should ever have just listened to Walter Cronkite. but people didn't even know what his politics was. And he was a Democrat. But in those days, a journalist took steps to at least sound objective. Nowadays, all bets are off. That doesn't happen anymore. And in some ways, not in the most important ways, but in some ways that's a good thing, because the bloom is off the rose, and it's never been more obvious that this media is lying, 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 and putting out propaganda that is just astonishing to behold. Much of the time, it is mistakes of of omission, of simply refusing to report anything that doesn't comport with their ideology and with their narrative that they want to push. Now, I want to take issue with, I'm going to try to take this kind of systematically, I'd like to challenge the notion that it is somehow anti-American, it's somehow a conspiracy theory, it is irresponsible to question the integrity of the 2020 election. I don't talk about it much because it is a big and complex issue. I watched a lot of the, the coverage that Mike Lindell did, and yet the same people keep saying, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And the people who believe it 100% just believe it and know that, and they don't care about anything that is contrary. We've come to a place where everybody decides what they believe regardless of the evidence, regardless of anything else. And I would argue that because everything appears to be related to everything else, speculation and suspicion is a healthy thing to do. All right? Speculation and suspicion. It doesn't mean you believe all of your speculations. I have an ongoing discussion. I think he's sick of me at this point. A friend of mine who's actually a real rocket scientist. I know you may have heard me talk about him. And everything that I bring up, he says, well, that's just speculation. And my response to that would be, so if you're willing to speculate and not believe 100% something without allowing for the possibility you could be wrong, then what is wrong with speculation? What is wrong with suspicion? Do you know there are people who right now believe, because, I don't know, they're part of the leftist cult, they are of the opinion that you're not even allowed to be suspicious. How about that? Isn't that the act of a zombie to say, I can't allow myself to be suspicious that maybe there's something fishy about this coronavirus because the people I want to believe have told me they're telling me the truth. Really? You know what? People that I know and respect are sometimes get it wrong. Some people I know and respect, they're only human. We're allowed to disagree. The fact that there are people living in America today who don't think we're allowed to disagree, that is what concerns me more than just about anything else. So to get back to President Trump, yes, he is president, or at least he was president, the 45th president of the United States. And many people believe and have reason to believe that he won re-election but was denied his rightful place. Now, in order to believe that, you would have to believe that the people who have suppressed that information have it in for America and have an agenda for America that is contrary to what Donald Trump has, right? You'd have to believe that all the accusations they threw at Donald Trump for 4 years that were the most relentless and only now are being proven to be false, to be lies, to be fraud, like Hillary Clinton's top dog, who's only now, so many years later, getting indicted. It's hard to believe. They always keep saying, where is, I forget his name. It's not in front of me. I'm sorry. Where is he? See, you can call and help me out here. Anyway, you'd have to believe, just to continue this theme, you'd have to believe that there is a bunch of people perpetrating what was referred to last night as the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on humans before. that across this globe, there are people who believe that there is a virus so deadly that they must sacrifice their jobs, their livelihood, their life, their kids' lives, to do exactly and precisely what these bureaucrats and politicians are telling us to do. That we should suspend our questions, suspend our disbelief that they're telling the truth, because, oh my God, it is just too dangerous to do otherwise. Now, that's what you would have to believe, just to connect a few of these dots, to think that someone had such a deadly agenda, a contrary to freedom agenda, that they were willing to steal an election in order to institute that agenda. Is that believable? What are we watching happening today? What are we watching happening? We're watching, as I tend to harp, we're watching government bureaucrats completely departing from fundamental constitutional principles, as laid out by our last guest, forcing, persecuting, prosecuting, bullying, intimidating, and isolating people who refuse to do the bidding of the government. And have you noticed also that this level of authoritarianism has been incremental? It's been amazingly fast, but it's also been incremental. At the time that the virus was most scary to people and most unknown to most Americans and most people in the free world, that was when they were most careful not to trample over our rights. Going on 2 years later, they are less careful than ever before to trample on our rights. They are more dictatorial than ever before. And yet we know more about this virus than we ever dreamed of knowing last January. Do you realize it's going almost, because the virus probably started earlier. I remember when everybody I knew was sick. And I was getting sick, but I have asthma, so I pre-treated, and I didn't get sick. You know, although I think I've had it. But it's hard to tell, isn't it? We don't know, but we are being coerced and bullied about something is invisible. We don't even know exactly what it is and what, and other than we know a whole bunch of circumstantial evidence about whether the flu has dropped off the face of the earth. People don't die of the flu anymore. But the same people who are most vulnerable to the flu, people over 80 years old who have already outlived their expected lifespan, and that means I hope people live to be 100 and 150, but their expected lifespan is under 80, but that is the largest number of people who are dying supposedly from coronavirus. So liars can figure and figures can lie, or as they like to say, figures can lie and liars can figure. So can we deduce that the same people who are perpetrating this fraud on America and on places like Australia, Europe, pretty much the entire free world, that there are lies, and damn lies being perpetrated on free countries to hand over their freedom using the coronavirus as the excuse? Some would argue, and that includes me, ladies and gentlemen, some would argue that that's the purpose of the virus in the first place, because you can take reasonably intelligent people and you threaten them with their health or with a disease or a virus, and they are so terrified, they will hand over every ounce of their most precious liberty. Raise your hands out there, ladies and gentlemen. How many people do you know who've already done it? How many people do you know who are so terrified, I know them, that they haven't left their house since this started? I know one person hasn't gone to synagogue in almost 2 years. His staff are still working from home. They like it, so he allows it, but he doesn't go outside. He does not go outside. Can you imagine jailing yourself like that? So that handing over your liberty, which you may never get back, is a small price to pay in their estimation because they don't want to get sick. There was a meme not long ago that said, imagine handing over your life because you're afraid of dying. I mean, really? So we know that's what we are up against. A psyop so deadly that people are willing to stop living in order to stop being afraid. And guess what? The fear-mongering and what they call fear porn has escalated exponentially. The fear is greater now. The media is pumping up the fear greater now than they did when we knew nothing about the virus. Stunning and astonishing. Now, in the news, as part of all of this, I see that the Democrats, keep in mind, these are the same people who are marching in lockstep, wearing rags on their face in public, taking them off in private, throwing out dictates to you and me, but not holding themselves accountable to those dictates because they know they're lies, et cetera, et cetera. They've decided to abolish the Trump-created Space Force. That was in the news today. And when I saw it via Newsmax.com, I said, people are going to say that this is due to the fact that they hate Trump so much that they're willing to abolish something either good for America, benign for America, or certainly not dangerous in any way, but helpful to Americans. Why would they do that? Oh, only because Trump created it? No, I don't think so. I think you let them off much too easily when you say it's Democrats are simply so hateful of Trump, they're going to reverse everything Trump did. That is to let them off much too easily, in my opinion. The reason they're reversing everything Trump did is because Trump loves America, and they want to disavow and destroy anything that is pro-American. Now, here I'm going to just give you the news piece so you know what it says. Democrats are introducing a bill to abolish the Space Force established by former President Donald Trump as a new branch of the military. As Congress moves to pass the National Defense Authorization Act, don't you love it? They always put a name to it that is the exact opposite of what it actually is. The NDAA, the annual bill that authorizes funding for the Pentagon. A Democrat named Jared Huffman introduced the bill, calling it the No Militarization of Space Act. Give me a break! And Rashida Tlaib and Maxine Waters, they co-signed the bill. Why? Because they want to disarm and make weak the United States of America. They don't care how vindictive they appear, but what really is going on is they're engaged in making America more helpless, more backward, and more defenseless. Let's see. Are there other things they've done that show you you should be suspicious of this? Well, let's see. They have worked for decades to take guns away from law-abiding citizens, to abolish the Second Amendment. Beto O'Rourke even admitted it. Oh, yeah, we're going to take away your AR-15s. Oh, yeah, we're going to take away your guns. And why? Why? Nobody ever asks why. They only say, well, those guns, they're dangerous. They kill people. No, they want to make law-abiding citizens more defenseless, more helpless, more backward. And is that really what citizens have to fear? Law-abiding citizens who carry guns in order to defend themselves? Or should they be afraid? I mean, fear isn't really functional too much, but should they be afraid of an ideology that ignores opening borders of a country and not vetting the people that come into it? You know, as dangerous and deadly as this world is, the current bunch in power, including Jesus Garcia, Mark Pocan, Rashida Tlaib, and Maxine Waters, all Democrats, all wearing masks in public but laughing behind our backs in private, they want to take the right of self-defense away from law-abiding citizens. And they don't seem to care, for some odd reason, they don't seem to care about allowing people from other countries, terrorist countries, to come into this country unvetted. They don't seem to care that loads of weapons were left that were paid for by the U.S. taxpayer and left to our enemies to come and kill us with them. I don't like saying that, but that's kind of what it appears, right? That's what it appears. They didn't care. They armed our enemies at our expense. Gosh, that's stunning. Stunning indeed. And these are the people who want you to take orders from them. And there are people doing that today. They're taking orders from them. Another news story from today, since we have a few more minutes, and I want to give a little more news out there so you know what's going on. Yeah, it's like drinking from a fire hose. It really is. The Believe All Women former TV boss in the New York Times, Chris Cuomo, is accused of sexual harassment. Who's surprised by that? What is even more interesting and a surprise is that the New York Times posted a guest essay, by longtime TV executive Shelley Ross, with the headline, Chris Cuomo sexually harassed me. I hope he'll use his power to make change. What? What? You mean like change out of your wallet? What is she talking about? I hope he'll use power to make change. So let's see. These leftists don't believe in accountability, right? She wants Cuomo to make up for it with a Me Too TV special. That's stunning. Ross, this woman wrote, Shelley Ross wrote, she was provoked by Chris announcing on air that he couldn't report on his brother instead of deciding he couldn't advise his brother on how to defeat his sexual harassment accusers. That is really amazing, isn't it? So he shouldn't be held accountable because you meet two people, you believe so strongly in it that you've got somebody in the White House right now who has extremely questionable track record in that arena. So we pick and choose who we hold accountable to these laws that we make up. That's really quite amazing, isn't it? Anyway, I get a lot of this, not only from Catherine, who gives us news items that you can follow and read up on at the Power Hour radio show, or just go to thepowerhour.com. You can read some of these news items that at least are unfiltered and not full of propaganda, and then decide for yourself what you think about them. That's why live talk radio is so valuable and so perfect, because you get to exercise your own right to free expression. Another thing I just want to mention in our last couple of minutes, time goes so fast, is that you can visit me at my website, KarenCataline.com, and write me as to what you think. You may not be listening to this live, or calling that number, 844-769-2944. Write that down, if you would, please. I would love for you to write that down, 844-769-2944, and make it a point to listen to the Power Hour radio show, not just when I'm on, but other hosts that are on during the week from 11 to 1 Central Time. And I don't know how much they take calls, but it makes for that much better a radio show is when you can do that. In my case, you can write me and let me know what you think. Karen at KarenCataline.com is my website. I try to put up some new stuff every week. You can subscribe to my newsletter, but I try to put something up every week. So it's KarenCataline.com, Karen at KarenCataline.com. Have a wonderful weekend. Keep fighting, keep standing strong, and more than anything else, keep standing up for your rights to free speech. Be well. Standing on the mountains, who is on the earth below? Who is bigger than the heavens and the lover of my soul? God, he's Yahweh. How great I am, he's Yahweh. The Lord of all, he's Yahweh. Joseph Sharon, he's Yahweh. Righteous son, he's Yahweh. The three in one, he's Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.